Some very popular books these days tell of near-death experiences and the wonderful heaven that awaits us all. Problem is, these books don't mention any need for faith in Christ as the means to get there. The devil is deceiving vast multitudes into thinking that there's no need to fear death. All will be okay. Today, more about the dark side and its deceiving tactics. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues a series on the invisible world, where battles are lost and won. We're in the midst of a message on knowledge from the dark side, the place where lies come from.
Yesterday, I happened to just open my Bible. I was going to read Isaiah chapter 28, and I was reading some verses where it says that there are people who take refuge behind lies. Wow. What's going on in these things? What is it that Satan's great desire is? And some of the books that we read about today about people even going to heaven, some may be legitimate, some illegitimate, but what is the devil's agenda? It's very clear. He wants this generation to believe that it's possible to die without faith in Jesus Christ and have a very happy experience after death. There's no judgment. You can enjoy the other side without believing in Jesus. Pike was a liberal bishop who denied the virgin birth. He denied the Trinity. He denied the fact that Jesus died for sinners. He denied it all, but after that, he wasn't afraid of death because he had connected with the other side. Now, I think it's very important that we recognize that God's opinion about this is not neutral at all. It leads to disillusionment and huge, huge deception, as does all occult knowledge. Now, I want us to turn to another passage. This is the New Testament passage. And then after we've turned to the New Testament passage in the book of Acts, chapter 16, I'm going to give you five very important statements. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. I didn't put a marker in my Bible, but as I recall, the book of Acts should be here, and lo, here it is. All right. Acts 16, verse 16. Paul is in Philippi. As we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners much gain by fortune telling. She followed Paul and us, crying out, "These men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to you the way of salvation." Stop. Sometimes fortune tellers can tell the truth, especially if they're under pressure from God. And this she kept doing for many days, and Paul, having become greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus to come out of her," and it came out that very hour. But when her owners saw that all hope was gone, they seized Paul and Silas, dragged them into the marketplace, and they beat them up. Why? Because the hope of their gain was gone. Another parenthesis. Isn't this absolutely terrible about human nature? Here's a slave girl who is finally delivered from an evil, oppressive, dark, unclean spirit. And instead of rejoicing, all that they can think of is that they're losing money. Just like people today in the sex trade. They can sell a girl into slavery or a boy into slavery, and to them nothing matters except that they might get some money. Is there any reason to believe that the human nature that we hear so much about is good? Well, we can do good things, but just think of the evil and the deception of the human heart. A couple of other comments before we give this very important summary, and that is this. Notice that the Apostle Paul had authority over this spirit, and do you think that this slave girl invited this spirit into her life, this fortune-telling spirit? I don't think so. You know, just like there's physical slavery that nobody asked for, there's also spiritual slavery that people are caught in. And if you say, well, why does that happen? There are certain entry points, and that's why I'm preaching a second message on this topic, because I realize today I may be scaring up more rabbits than I'm able to shoot, so I hope to shoot some of those next time. But please keep in mind that this poor slave girl, physically in slavery, spiritually in slavery, and the Apostle Paul, by the word of Jesus, set her free, and her owners, her handlers, her pimp, if you can put it that way, was unhappy. Now, what I'd like us to do is today, as I mentioned, this sermon developed a little differently than I had intended. I'm going to give you five very important statements that you can think about as we try to nail things down regarding the occult and the terrifying searching for knowledge apart from God. First of all, remember that Satan's knowledge of the future is limited. That's why I don't think that it was a demonic apparition that spoke to Saul. It's because it was so accurate, the next day, according to Samuel's prediction, Saul dies. Satan knows the future much better than you and I do because he knows what is being planned, but he has no idea whether or not it's going to be executed. He knows that Lee Harvey Oswald is planning to shoot the President of the United States back in November of 1963, but what he doesn't know is whether or not it's going to happen. The gun might jam. Oswald might get caught going to the Dallas Bookroom Depository building with the rifle. So he knows more than we know, but his knowledge is limited. Because of some study that I did some time ago, I studied Nostradamus. I smile when our television folks give an entire hour to his predictions. It is humorous. They should say, laugh here, laugh here, laugh here. How many of those predictions could you have made before the event happened? None. After the event happened, they say, oh, you know, now when we look at it more carefully, he was predicting the assassination of President Kennedy, or he was predicting this. Oh, why didn't you tell us that 200 years ago? Why didn't you make those predictions at that time? Why don't you make predictions now as to what Nostradamus is going to say 50 years from now? Please find them. Nobody can. I always say it is so much easier to predict the future after it has happened. It really is. There are all kinds of people who predicted the assassination of President Kennedy after it took place. It's a little more difficult before it does. One year I did this, I would never do it again, but on New Year's Day, I bought some of those magazines with predictions for the new year. Just read them on December the 31st, a year later. And you'll find most of them are incredibly wrong. Now, some people, like the fortune tellers and like the seance folks and the channelers, may be plugged into the devil. Perhaps some aren't. They may be fakers. But the point is that they cannot predict the future with accuracy. Only God knows all things, both actual and possible. Only God knows the future infallibly. And that's why he can make the predictions that are so clear and so definite. Look at the predictions regarding the return of Jesus. In the book of Revelation, you even have exactly what the Antichrist is going to believe, what is going to happen in the world. You have geography when Jesus returns back to earth. Zechariah chapter 14, his feet shall stand on the Mount of Olives, which lies before Jerusalem on the east. Think of the specificity of God's predictions, because God is right all the time, because he knows the future infallibly. Satan doesn't. Secondly, to seek knowledge from the spirit world, to seek knowledge from the spirit world invites the judgment of God. There's a passage in the 28th chapter, I guess it is, of the book of Isaiah, where God says, you know what? I'm going to send you trouble that your charmers and your astrologers cannot charm away. Wow. The next time we see King Saul in the narrative there in 1 Samuel, he is falling on his sword, attempting to commit suicide. He can't quite polish it off, and an Amalekite, apparently, according to the next accounts, runs by and finishes him off. What a deluded soul. He dies suicide. because he refused to yield to God. He will try every single way somehow to manipulate, to control, and to hang on. Do you know how Saul wrote his own epitaph? I don't know if I've ever done this, but someday I'm going to preach a message on writing your own epitaph, what should be on your tombstone. Chapters earlier, the King Saul said this to David, because of an incident we can't go into here, but you can read it on your own. He said, "I have played the fool." Who's buried here? This is King Saul. Notice his epitaph. "I've played the fool." Judas, his epitaph, "It would have been good for him if he had never been born." The words of Jesus. Paul, his epitaph, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." Wow. Saul says, "I've played the fool." And if you're involved in any kind of occult activity, whether it is Ouija boards, whether it is horoscopes, whether it is tarot cards, and dozens of other ways to get into the occult, you are following King Saul. There's a third lesson, and that is Jesus delegates his authority to his people. Here you have the Apostle Paul saying to that demonic spirit, without the slave girl's cooperation. He didn't even say, "Now you have to cooperate with me before this demon leaves." Now, if you know anything about demon possession, you know that the participant needs to cooperate. But at the same time, there are people, and Paul certainly was one, who so walked with God, who had so much authority, he could put up with it only for a few days. He said to the spirit, "Come out of her." And the spirit came out that very hour. The Bible says that Jesus has authority over all principalities and all powers and every name that has been named, both in this world and in the world to come. Jesus Christ has won this incredible victory, and he shares that authority with us. Well, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer. I hope that you tune in next time for a continuation of this very message entitled Knowledge from the Dark Side. Do you understand why it is that these kinds of messages are so desperately needed today? It's because we're living in a generation who not only is deceived, but they want to be deceived. People don't want to go to the scriptures. They don't want to abide by what the Bible says. And so many of them are in various forms of the occult, and they really don't even know it. Well, at the end of this broadcast, you'll be given information as to how these messages can be yours. The series is entitled The Invisible World, and we're going to be talking about knowledge from the dark side next time, and then after that, power from the dark side. And then we go on to topics such as angels and heaven and so forth. Thanks for joining us. Hope to see you here next time on Running to Win.
Thank you, Pastor Lutzer. You've heard Erwin Lutzer with more of Knowledge from the Dark Side, the third message in an 8-part series on The Invisible World. Monday, final thoughts about the knowledge people seek from the dark side. And then on Tuesday, a look at power from the dark side. These messages will make the invisible world very real to each of us. The entire series will be sent on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about the invisible world. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.